Hi there, a very warm welcome to the Postcast. It's the Racing Post's weekly preview brought to you by Racing Post Members Club. I'm Bruce Millington and I'm delighted to be joined by these fine tipsters, Keith Melrose and David Jennings, to look ahead to some terrific racing this weekend. Seven races on ITV on Saturday, including four from Newmarket, the highlight of which is the Cesarewitch, I can never say that. We've also got three on the box from York. There's some cracking jumps action at Chepstow. Good Irish Fair. I'm sure DJ's been having a look at that. We've got the Welsh Champion Hurdle at Fosslass on Sunday, and we'll get the nap. So, without further ado, let's tackle the four ITV races at Newmarket on Saturday, starting with the 150. It's the Godolphin Flying Start Zetland Stakes, a Group 3 for two-year-olds, over the stamina sapping for the juveniles, 1 mile, 2 furlongs. And we've got 9 runners in this, headed by Flying Honours. I'm giving you best odds as per Racing Post Members Club Pro Card. So if you click on it, you don't just get the leading odds from 7 major bookmakers, but you also get the array of place terms. As it happens here, they're all a 5-3, but there will be variations. I will keep you posted. Anyway, 5-4 is Flying Honours for Godolphin. And then it's open behind that one, 7-1 Dear My Friend, 9-1 Galactic Jack, 10-1 Bateman's Bay and Blanchland, and it's 12-1 Bar. Keith, you haven't been a regular on this show for a while, so you can go first. How are you first up?
I'm very well, Bruce. How are you?
Yeah, good. What are your confidence levels like out of 10 going into the weekend?
It's a lot of juvenile races, of course, and I've been doing a show all summer with Matt Gardner, who's the juvenile handicapper, so I've been leaving all that to him. So my confidence levels in the juvenile races aren't the best, but staying handicap, some really good sprints, and the jumps are back too. So that side of things, I'd have a bit more strength in my views.
Good. Okay, right then, away you go. Who wins the Zetland?
I just thought that in this race, you know, we're going to have stalls and a stand side here at Newmarket, and often that gives you a bit of a boost to the rail. I see Dear My Friends in here, drawn right on that rail, got a very stout pedigree. You know, the last time we saw him in Britain, he ran in the Vintage Stakes at Goodwood, wasn't quite up to that over 7, but has since run a pretty good race in a mile listed race in Deauville, and it didn't really go his way either particularly. So now up to a mile to, as I say, stout sort of pedigree. He's got a half brother called Red Force One, who's, he actually runs over jumps, but he's quite a handy, soft ground, staying flat type as well. So I've got it down that this horse can just grab that rail, thrive over the extra distance. And I thought he was worth a bit of a go out of the, you know, as you say, it seems to be Flying Honours versus the rest. I thought he looked like he stood out of the rest a little bit.
Okay, excellent. DJ, the highlight of last week's show was undoubtedly your and G-Rod's little contretemps over the Cadran. Did you send him a little message after Kyrgios had won by half the track?
I actually didn't. I think I was knee deep in nappies at the time. But Rodders just is a legend, because as I said to you before the show, sometimes his logic is utterly. But I will never get Rodders. His logic is mental, and I just came off the show, and I swear to God, it took me about 2 hours to come back to reality. Because when you're with Rodders, it's just bonkers. And his logic is mental, and yet he's been in winners all week.
He certainly has. 3 massive winners in the tipping column yesterday. Good old G-Rod. Right, and it's your turn, DJ. Kick us off with a winner.
Keith said it's Flying Honours against the rest. I think the rest are moderate. And for that reason, I think Flying Honours at odds against is actually a little bit of value here. I think you can safely put a line through the Royal Lodge. They absolutely crawled most of the way. It turned into a sprint. I think he's more about stamina than speed. And I think in a properly run race where it doesn't turn into a dash, I think Flying Honours has all the ingredients to deal with that. Put it this way, I know he ran in the Royal Lodge and I know he was beaten at 2-7, but if he didn't run in the Royal Lodge, he's probably 1-2 here. So I think odds against is not the worst price in the world. A boring start for me, Bruce. Flying Honours.
Okay. I'm never sure about that, if he hadn't run in that race theory. Kills puts that forward sometimes. The fact is, he did run in it. Right, 2:25 Newmarket, the Emirates Autumn Stakes, a Group 3 over a mile, won last year by subsequent Guineas winner Caribus. And although there are only 7 runners, it's open. Epictetus for the Gosdens is 5-2 joint favourite with the Godolphin Silver Knot. And then it's 3-1 Holloway Boy, 13-2 Dancing Magic. and 12-1 Bar. David Jennings, back to you for hopefully the winner. Who's it going to be?
Yeah, hopefully it's two from two for Godolphin. Now, I'm a big Silver Knot fan. Now, he let me down badly last time at Doncaster in the Champagne Stakes, but the ground was pretty deep that day. It was officially soft ground. It was hard work. Frankie got a freebie on Chaldean and rode them all to sleep. And William Buick was quite nice on Silver Knot once he realised he wasn't going to win the race from about the two pole. I have to say, I was really impressed by his Solario win at Sandown. I think he got an RPR of about 109 for that. I'd say 109 will probably win this for all that his own exposed horses in the lineup. I think the step up to a mile will suit. I think the track will suit. And I think Exoplanet is the overpriced one. I was quite impressed with him at Newbury. Double figure price about him is a big price, but I'm keeping the faith with Silver Knot.
How about you, Keith?
Yeah, my view is same but different, really, because I do look and I think Silver Knot probably is the one I would have put in as favourite myself, but I'm not sure that the level he and Epictetus are setting is really top notch. So I'm actually thinking Exoplanet at 12 is a really good price. He looked pretty good on his debut win at Newbury. He was travelling all over them. And Bacento, who's got some solid form behind in the third Conquisto's come out. He was beaten a long way that day and has come out and run a good race and not a novice again since. Exoplanet was just not all out at all to win that race, given an educational ride more than anything, as they would say, and he just happened to win it. And that just shows how good he is. The time was pretty good. A lot going for him. The step up in grade to this level is probably not going to be too much for him. And I thought he was certainly worth. I thought I'd be rather beyond him at 12s than Silver Knot at 5-2. But my view is very similar to DJ's.
Okay, let's move on to the highlight of the 2-year-olds races at Newmarket. I mean, this is the most prestigious 2-year-old race run in Britain every year. Of course, it's the 3 o'clock. It's the Darley Dewhurst Stakes. To Group 1 over 7 furlongs, $300,000 to the winner. The race was very much devalued as a contest when Sakir, who'd been favourite all week, scoped dirty and came out. That's a real shame. And it leaves us with 7 runners headed by Nostrum, who's currently 6-4. And then it's Chaldean at 15-4. 4 Naval Power, 7 Aesop's Fables, 12 Isaac Shelby, 25 Marban, and 25 Royal Scotsman. There's plenty of ones in this, Keith. So, I mean, it has the potential to be a really good Dewhurst. Kind of my overall feeling, regardless of who's going to win it, is that it's a slight... How can I say? It's probably an unproven field, if we're being kind, and a slightly underwhelming one if we're not. Is that fair?
Yeah, it might be kind, to be honest. It's not.
Yeah.
I don't think this is not going to be a Dewhurst for the ages. I'd be quite surprised if it was. The whole two-year-old division, really, there's not been a star two-year-old, certainly not for the Dewhurst sort of Guineas route. The really good ones have been faster, really. We've not had these sort of horses. The division's not been dominated by this sort of horse. It is probably not going to be the best sort of Dewhurst. It might be more of a sort of Bilardo Dewhurst than a Pinatubo one, I would say.
But we're still, the bookmakers are still paying out at full prices, so let's give a full still, attention to picking the winner.
But that's why it's better in a lot of ways, because there's room for error there, because we don't know as much about these horses. There's 40% of this book taken out by Nostrum, who, yes, is an extremely promising horse, but there's a lot you could be wrong about with this horse at this stage. In a way, you couldn't have been wrong about Pinatubo or another star two-year-old. And for me, I think Chaldean should be a lot closer to him in the betting than he is. He's already got that form at the sort of Group 2 level in the deeper ground. I mean, the weather's, there's a bit of rain forecast, isn't there? Certainly going to, all the northern meetings are going to be soft on Saturday, and he just looked a lot more professional when he won the Champagne Stakes, and Nostrum looked when he won here in the Tattersall Stakes last time. He's going to have that streetwise element on his side. He's got the edge in form. It's only £2, yes, but that's not enough for me to think that Nostrum should be 6-4 and Chaldean should be coming up 4-1. So I think Chaldean's the bet in the race. I hope we see something come out and look really impressive, and we get a real Guineas horse to talk about over the winter, but at the prices I see in front of me, I just see Chaldean as being the bet.
Okay, well, DJ, I mean, how do you see this race for the now, as in who's going to win it, and also for the future in terms of how the form is going to affect next year's classics?
Well, I would argue that the seven best juveniles are not here, which is very rare for a Dewhurst. We don't have Little Big Bear, we don't have August Rodin, we don't have Noble Style, who I think is the best of the Godolphin team, we don't have Sakir, we don't have Blackbeard, we don't have Valriffa, who won the National Stakes, and I think Dermot Wells filly Tahira is definitely in the top six or seven that I've seen this season. So there's seven that are not here. Obviously Tahira is a filly. I think it's an open race. I don't think there's a superstar amongst them, and for that reason I think the overpriced one is actually the Aidan O'Brien runner. I think Aesop's Fables is a better horse than we were able to see in the National Stakes. I think there were circumstances conspired against him in the National Stakes. First of all, the ground was very deep on the Sunday of Irish Champions weekend. And second of all, he's had a very strange two-year-old campaign in that he was very impressive on his debut at Navan, but that was on the 23rd of April. And then he was off all the way from the 23rd of April to the 20th of August, when he returned in the futurity, was really weak in the market, drifted out 3-1 despite being the choice of Ryan Moore, and absolutely bolted off from Hans Anderson. And then he went from the 20th of August to the 11th of September, which is just over 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, which didn't give Aidan O'Brien much time to kind of ease off and then charge up again. So I think it probably came a little bit too soon after the National Stakes. After the futurity, the National Stakes did. And for that reason, if you go back to that futurity form when he beat Hans Anderson, a Racing Post rating of 111 with more to come, I think he's been trained for this race ever since his most recent appearance in the National Stakes. And I think at around 7-1, given it's not a great Dewhurst and given the talent the juveniles Aidan O'Brien has, I think it's a big price.
Interesting. Excellent. While you mentioned betting on a seven-runner race, I'm just going to give a big up for the new Racing Post app, because it's got really good game-changing odds comparison. You choose the best odds from seven bookmakers. You don't just get the best odds, you get the best place terms. And that's important in this race, because it will show that Bet365, even though there's only seven runners, Bet365 and Skybet are betting a fifth to three. So for a horse like Aesop's Fables, DJ, you know what it's like when you look at a seven-runner race, you're like, oh, there's no each-way interest in that. But if they're going a fifth to three, you might actually be tempted on Aesop's each way, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely, because if you can cross off some of the ones that you don't fancy, I'm not convinced by the Godolphin runner, you know, you're kind of getting a good each-way price in it. Four or five runner race, like,
yeah, it's a decent cushion. Right, let's move on to the big betting heat of the day, the 3:40 at Newmarket. It's the Club Godolphin Cesarewitch over 2 miles and 2 furlongs, 103 grand to the winner. field sizes. This is always a 30 runner plus. Incredible spectacle, always brilliantly commented on. 2.5 miles, that long run, and then a big sweeping right-hand turn, and then they thunder down the straight to the line. 22 runners. Goodness me. I mean, it's so disappointing. Obviously, we should say, by the way, deepest commiserations to the connections of Adagio, who would have been one of the favourites for this. Unfortunately, died on the gallops on Thursday. That was a really sad story. That leaves us with 9-2 favourites, a horse with no name and run for Oscar, 12-1 evaluation, 12 Gibraltar, 12 Scaramanga, 14 Baby's Use, 14 Favourite Moon, 16 Going Gone, and Vino Victrix, and Zoffy, and 18-1 bar. David Jennings, you can have first crack at this. I mean, I know 22 runners is difficult enough, but what's going on with this game?
Yes, 12 short. 12 short. We could have 34 and we've got 22. I wasn't great at maths, but that's 12. This is really worrying. Like, it's 103,000 to the winner. Obviously, you probably might expect a little bit more for a race at the prestige of the Cesarewitch, but it's still decent prize money. It's still prestigious. It's baffling. It really is. I love the name, A Horse With No Name, because I always said if I was wealthy enough in years to come when I'm about 60 to own a horse, I would call it Not A Clue What That Is. So the commentator, it's a real commentator thing, you know, so they're commentating.
Oh, right, yeah.
You know, and it's Cotto Star followed by Demon, and Not A Clue What That Is, and that commentator's rubbish. So that's my, I'm a child. I actually fancy a horse with no name. I think she has certainly been laid out for the race by all accounts. I think that performance at York off 86 back in May at the Dante meeting, like, it was emphatic. And Master Milliner franked the form since. There's a bit of substance to that form. I think she'll definitely stay. I do. I think she's the best part of her races tends to be the latter part of her races. She even kept on behind Love Envoy in the Mayor's Novice Hurdle. I think 96 is fine. Ryan Moore is booked. What's not to like apart from the price? And given there's only 22 runners, 9-2 is not really a bad price. One of the bigger price that I do think will run well is Baby Zeus, who I think has been crying out for this sort of trip. Baby Zeus is actually a brother to Legas de Vegas, who won the Ascot Stakes over 2.5 miles. And I think Baby Zeus is an absolute out-and-out stayer. So of the Mullins contingent, and I know Willie is pretty keen on his chances too, I think Baby Zeus will run well. But I think a horse with no name will win the Cesarewitch.
Okay, thank you very much. Skybet, 7 places. Paddy Power, Betfair, Bet365, William Hill, 6 places. So keep your eye, as always, not just best prices, but best places. There's 2 challenges when sorting out who to bet with. That is the view of David Jennings. What's the view of Keith Melrose?
It's a very difficult race, and I've all been laid out for it, but I'm amused now by the thought of on the 2nd of March 2017, there was a foal born by Frankel out of a Marcel Boussac winner proportional. And did they think, how about the 2022 Cesarewitch, lads? Because so that horse, it was Prince Imperial, who started off with Michael Stout and then has ended up with Richard Hughes. His season has been all about the Cesarewitch. I remember him from last year. I was doing more of the stairs then. He's a sort of horse that just travels through these staying races. He evidently handles soft ground. He does it himself, and obviously has done one of Marcel Boussac on Good to Soft. So sort of autumn time of the year is no issue to him at all.
It's going to be good, though, isn't it?
Is it going to be good?
There's not a lot of rain forecast. I don't think so, no, but you never know, dear.
Well, see, obviously we're recording this before any races on Friday as well, so we need to sort of see, that'll give us a bit of a clue. I'm sort of judging it on the sense of it'll be autumnal and maybe not soft, but I would have thought on the softer side of good, I would have imagined. But anyway, he's... With the Cesarewitch, what you need above anything, and yes, it's a smaller field than usual, but there's still 22 runners. You want a horse that can travel. If you're off the bridle at the start of that rolling mile, you're dead. You're completely gone at the game. And Prince Imperial is a really good traveller, but a horse that stays extremely well. Everything's been laid out for it, but this horse definitely has too. I thought there was a little bit more to come in terms of his profile at the end of last season, and he's only run twice, including a second to Rajinsky in the trial for this race on his last run. So to get the chance to back him at 25-1, Jim Crowley's on, and Jim Crowley just loves to, when he's on a traveller, he loves to sit. So I hope he'll do it again. And I can just see Prince Imperial winning a big race.
Lovely. It'd be nice for Richard Hughes to have a Cesarewitch winner. Excellent stuff. Thank you, gents. That was Newmarket. York is coming right up.
The world's number one horse racing app just got better. Download the brand new Racing Post app for free to experience our new game-changing odds comparison, exclusive daily big-name tipping, and unrivaled app-only content. Head to the App Store to download it and get started.
Welcome back to the Postcast. Bruce Millington, Keith Melrose and David Jennings looking ahead to York's 3 races on ITV on Saturday afternoon. The first of which is the 205, it's the Coral Rockingham Stakes listed race over 6 furlongs, 9 runners, 7-4 Fav Alpha Capture, 4 Bolt Action, 5 Rousing Encore, and 9 Bar. And it's Keith Melrose's turn to go first.
Not a particularly strong or sexy view on this one, but I just thought Alpha Capture deserved to be the sort of price he is against this lot. The other runners in the race, Bolt Action and Rousing Encore, they've had a lot of runs so far this season, whereas Alpha Capture's only had 3. And his last one was the big sales race at the Ledger meeting, and it couldn't have worked out any better, really, could it? He split Cold Case and Hogwan, who finished 1st and 2nd in the 2-year-old trophy at Redcar last week. And 4th, there was Galeron, who I think he won the big one of them. In fact, he did win the big sales race at the Curragh on his next run, you know, gap back to the rest. That form looks really, really good. And he's already in the vicinity of the best in the field on form on that basis. But once you consider the improvements to come and the amount you could potentially up that form, he's got to go down as a really promising sort. So, yeah, it'll be exciting to watch him.
Excellent. DJ, do you concur with Keith?
Yeah, Alpha Capture is definitely the most likely winner, but one that's way overpriced here, I'm going to be having a nibble on, is Kaima at 20-1 for William Haggis and Danny Toto. It's funny how kind of form figures can point you in the wrong direction, really, because if you look at Kaima's last run at Chester, when I know he's won twice over 7, but he's got a lot of speed. Last time, he finished 6th of 9 at Chester. If you're told that turning into the home straight, you'd say that cannot possibly happen unless there's a sniper in the crowd or something, because he turned in, he kicked for home. Now, he had been very keen. I knew he wouldn't finish it out, but he traded that one to, or he traded that 4-5 in running. And he looked to me like a horse that just needed a stiffer test over 6 rather than 7, because he didn't settle in the early part of the race. The form of his nursery win at York earlier on the season, I think, is quite decent. Now, I know he's only rated 88, but I think he's a better horse than that. And at 20-1, I think he's got a shout.
Okay. Wow. Kaima. Although the lads both think Alpha Capture is the likeliest winner. The 240 at York is the Coral beaten by a length. Free bet handicap. Just the 6 runners, 1 mile, 2.5 furlong the trip. Marching Army in the Godolphin Blue is Fav at 5-2 from Protagonist, who's 11-4. And then it's 6-1 Saga in the King's Colours. Also 6-1, What's the Story? 13-2 Stay Well. 17-2 Algiers. Just the 6 runners, but pretty competitive, David Jennings.
Yeah. 6 runners. I'd nearly I found some 26 runner races easier than this. You can make a case for any of these. The one that I thought was overpriced was Saga for the King himself. Last time at York, missed a break. Didn't really get into it, made a little bit of ground. Go back to the run at Ascot. Like, that was a really good run in the Britannia, only to be touched off. And it's a Britannia that's worked out well as well. I think Sag is the overpriced one, but I won't be having a bet.
Normally, when we talk about the King on the postcards, we talk about Rafe Beckett, don't we? Because we've got an actual King now. Keith, are you going to let this one go through to the wicket keeper, or are you going to take it on?
I'm in a similar-ish position to DJ. It's not a race I had a strong view, and the one that I thought might have been overpriced was Stay Well, who has some really good form looking back, you know, looking at his second to Forrest Falcon in June and whatnot, and he's got the hood on first time. He can be a bit fizzy, so that might help him out. Again, I'm going to be like DJ. That's the horse I would point people towards if I was asked, but I won't be betting.
Limited enthusiasm for the 240. Let's see if the lads are getting more excited about the 315 at York. It is the Coral Sprint Trophy, a handicap over 6 furlongs with 22 runners, and it's 901 of it, or 901. You're getting 7 places with Skybet and 5 and 6 with the others. That 9-1 favourite is Dusky Lord, and then it's 11-1 Good Old Gulliver and Lethal Nymph and Lucky Man and Mr. Wagyu. 12 laugh a minute. And 14 bar, some good old friends here. Keith, who stands out for you?
It's not a race where one tends to stand out, really. It's the sort of last day of term for these 6 furlong handicappers. There's one more race you could run in at Donnie, and it's worth a fifth of what this is. So this is, you know, last chance for a lot of these horses to pick up a big prize. Dusky Lord's extremely interesting. A horse that hangs like him, do you want him to be right on the wing like he is in one? I'm not so sure. Gulliver's Gulliver. Lethal Nymph, his brother's an Ascot horse. He looks like an Ascot horse. I think a stiffer 6 might suit him. Lucky Man has got some excellent York form. His 4th in the year Gold Cup. He's got to be on your list. And horses like Dakota Gold and Mr. Wagyu have a great depth of form around here. So they're all sort of going on the list. I'm going past Silver Samurai as well, who shouldn't be a York horse, but is. The one that I thought was a massive price that I'd put on people's radar is Giza Sub, who is right next door. And he's in 18, and 19 is his stablemate Bergerac, who's likely to be one of the pace angles in the race. Giza Sub, he was second in the Gimcrack last year, having been an expensive breeze-up purchase. He's not been as good this year, and the sort of received wisdom has it that maybe horses like that haven't trained on. It's a danger. But I've seen a lot of promise in recent runs when he was mid-div behind Bergerac at the Ebor meeting here. He ran better than that result let on. I think he was on the wrong side and got hampered as he faded in the Air Gold Cup last time. He's now down to a mark of 96. And Oshie McSweeney's taken off 5. Oshie McSweeney's had 11 rides at York. He's had 2 winners, a second, a third and a fourth. For a £5 claimer at York, it's a damn good record. So I've not got any questions about him giving him the ride here to help on what's already a low mark. I'm not saying he's the likeliest winner. There's some really, really interesting horses in this race. But he's on my shortlist, most of them were in the sort of 10-14-1 bracket. But this one is much bigger. He's 25s. So I've already had an each way bet on him.
Lovely. Gizzasub was getting a big spray up off. I think it might have been Robbie or even DJ on a recent postcast. So it's interesting to see.
Talk to me.
did I hear the sound of thunder stolen there, DJ?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, I'm the same. I think 25-1. It's one of these ones where you're like, oh God, because it's 25-1, you have to have I was so sweet in him for the Air Gold Cup and really fancied him to run a big race because go back to that run at York, Keith said it can be upgraded. It certainly can because it was one of them ones where Kevin Scott just never got a chance to actually get after him because there was always a horse kind of in front. Now, I know this can happen a lot in sprints, but there was always a horse just in front of him or manoeuvring out in front of him or doing something in front of him. And he was only beaten 3.5 lengths. And I kind of said to myself, right, if he actually got one of the gaps or he got a reasonably clear run, where would he have finished? And I thought maybe a length and a half, maybe 2 lengths. Now he's £3 lower than that mark. I think he can safely put a line through the Air Gold Cup. Do you know what? I do it every year. I think the Air Gold Cup is one of the races you can forgive any horse ever for because it's just a minefield, to be honest with you. And I think, like Keith, there was more sign of life on the second last start at York. And when you go through his form, like York is a specialist track. He was second to Lusail in the gym crack. He was second at York, beating a nose by Bosch on his debut at York. He's ran well at York this year. I think there is plenty to like about Giz a Sub.
Interesting stuff. Thank you very much, gents. That is the TV action button down. Loads more tips to come. Stay with us.
Tis I, Dave Orton. Join me and an excellent panel every Saturday on Racing Post Live in association with Betfair. Tips, previews, live race reactions, and of course some raucous laughs along the way. That's Racing Post Live every Saturday. Subscribe to the YouTube channel so you don't miss a thing.
Welcome back to the final part of the postcast brought to you by Racing Post Members Club. Bruce Millington, David Jennings and Keith Melrose. We've done the 7 ITV races on Saturday. Now let's see what else the boys fancy this week. And there is loads and loads of racing, as always, on a Saturday. We've got the rest of the York and Newmarket cards. We've got that cracking first major jumps card of the winter at Chepstow, where unfortunately, because it's good to firm, the field sizes are quite small, but there's some good old names there. We've also got Hexham over the Sticks. And then you've got in Ireland, the Curragh and Fairy House and Graham Rodway's local track, Chelmsford. Quick word on Sunday's three fixtures. Nothing in Ireland, but we've got Southall, Goodwood and Fosslass, where the highlight is the Welsh Champion Hurdle. So, boys, away you go. Keith, you can start. Don't give your nap away, but tell us what else we should be backing this weekend.
No, well, yes, I've got two sprinters, one Saturday, one Sunday, to flag up to. Now, on the 7 o'clock at Chelmsford on Saturday evening, I've got a horse in here, trained by David Amara, called Belfour Shea, who about this time last year beat New York City in a soft ground maiden at the Curragh. Now, obviously, New York City's now 113, I think, on RPRs. You know, horse has improved an awful lot, and Barefoot, she beat him that day. She's only run once since. That was for Michael O'Callaghan, a last run for him in a race at Nace. You know, it was her first run since the previous October. She was all set off 25-1. Fair to admit that there's not much going on there. She's come to Amara, and she's got a mark of 78. Now, on the way she's looked in maidens, that could be extremely generous. She's also in the sales in a few weeks, despite having not changed owners, which I thought was quite an interesting thing, because sometimes Amara, because he's gained this reputation for improving horses off elsewhere, can bring them along a little bit more slowly. But there's an incentive here to go first time up. And there's another thing that I noticed in this race. Now, I'm joining dots here. I don't know anything. But the horse watchers had a Filios in this race at the 5-day stage, and they've got horses with Amara, and they've not declared a Filios, which I'm drawing the line between the two and thinking it may be the nod's been given. So I'll be looking, taking a very close eye on Belfour Shea, because if she's as good as that maiden one makes her look, then she should be making a mockery of 78. Then on Goodwood on Sunday, there's a sprint, a 6 furlong handicap there. There's a horse in here. Now, I'd be slightly happier if this was a stiffer track, but I'm very happy that it's Goodwood for Marshall Dan, who's got a lot of form here over 7. But he's only run once over 6 in his life. It was in a racing league fixture at Newcastle, and he was second to Badry, who was a very easy winner. But he looked completely at home over 6 and is on a good mark now. So in a race that a lot of these have already had their day for this season, I was interested to see Marshall Dan come back to this trip for at Goodwood, where he goes so well. I have got one more horse, but it's going to be my nap, so I'll leave that one for now.
Marshall Dan is the 3 o'clock at Goodwood on Sunday. DJ, over to you, my friend.
Yes, Bruce. Looking forward to Chepstow. I think as I'm worried that McFabulous's weight is to be 8 going on 9 to go over fences. He surely has been schooled over fences at various stages, McFabulous. I'm guessing, but it worries me. It's not a Paul Nicholls thing to do to wait so long to send a horse over fences. And it worries me. I think Sebastopol has got solid chase form and is a viable alternative to McFabulous. And I'll be taking on McFabulous with Sebastopol in that 252 at Chepstow. I know you're a bit...
I'm with you there, DJ. Yeah, it seems that things are McFabulous. And to be honest, Sebastopol's form in handicap chases last spring was really, really good. It's not like we've got £10 to make up here. Even if McFabulous is every bit as good as he was over hurdles, it's only like £5 in it.
Exactly.
Hang on a sec. I mean, what's all this "I know you like to say the races"? Do you think the listeners are quite happy for you to just throw a horse out there and then they've got to do all the donkey work and find out when it runs?
No, but Bruce, my priority in life is keeping you happy first and then the
listeners. Okay. Well, that's fine. I think you should. Yeah, let's go listener first and me second. You know me. I take a lot of getting happy. But
yeah.
So we've got Sebastopol. The boys both fancy that in the 252 at Chepstow. So what else have you got, DJ?
My Nat Balter runs in the chest on the Chepstow card, so I won't be giving that away. But I actually like Light and Strike in the handicap chase at 327 at Chepstow. I thought it ran really well last time over hurdles at Worcester, a real kind of eye-catching sort of run behind Present and Counting. I think he's a better chaser than Hurdler. I think the race will suit here, Light and Strike in the 327. And just a couple at the Curra for you, Bruce. And I'm frantically trying to find out the times here. Autumn Evening runs in the 3:45, the Pollardstown Handicap, which is worth $35,000 to win. I ran a cracker from a long way off the pace at Listowel last time. I thought that was a really good run from Autumn Evening. I think he can win the 3:45. And Pirate Jenny, I fancy, in the 2:35. And in the 2 o'clock, I think Be Happy is a smart filly for Aidan O'Brien, 1 at Cork. I think she can win the 2 o'clock.
Excellent. Excited about the jump season, DJ?
Ecstatic, Bruce.
If you had to give the listeners a Cheltenham winner now, I've really sprung that on you. But you'll have one. You'll have 20. So come on.
Yeah.
If a listener was thinking, right, you know, it's to jump tomorrow, I'm going to treat myself. I'm going to have a £5 bet on a Cheltenham horse. Who should it be?
I would suggest Zanahir for the Stayers Hurdle, because I know Gordon is going to plot a staying hurdle campaign for Zanahir, who was third in the Champion Hurdle last year. So that would be one, I think, is a big price, around 20-1 Zanahir. But as regards my horse to follow for the season, it's the same as my horse to follow from last season. It is Firestep from the Nicky Henderson stable, who didn't actually run last season and was my horse to follow last season, but it's running hopefully this season. I think Firestep is going to be very good.
Keith Melrose, if you're thinking, oh God, don't come to me with the same question, sadly I am.
Oh yeah, well, to be honest, you're in luck a bit, because good. I've been doing a lot of jump stuff this week.
We've got the big jump off soon.
That's right. The deadline for all the copies Monday, and I think it's the following Monday.
We better give it's the following Monday. So
I'm frantically trying to finish a Ruby Walsh interview. The big jump off. So Tom Park, if you're listening, it'll be with you soon.
Quickly before Keith gives us his horse, the big jump off is a fantastic 72-page supplement. We did it for the first time this last year. You mustn't miss it. It's got everything you need for the up and coming jump season, including Keith's horse to follow, which is
The horse to follow is Valshida from Nicky Henderson's yard. Young chaser last year, second to Killer Kane on his second last start. Killer Kane won a listed handicap next time. And then he won a really sort of piddle about and sprint race at Foss last, a race that shouldn't suit him. He's a big strapping son of Milan. And the horse that he beat in the second that day is JT, I think, or JC. He's an unexposed sort as well. Val Sheed is rated 129, so don't expect to see him in the Coral Trophy or whatever it's called now, but expect to see him in top handicaps by the end of the season. I think that's it's a 150 horse that's currently racing off 129. That's the sort of horse you want as a horse to follow, isn't it? So he's mine there. In terms of a Cheltenham winner, all the horses to follow, I try and be a smart aleck, so I try not to look at Cheltenham for horses to follow, but the one that I've flagged for a Cheltenham race is Red Rookie, who should have run in the Grand Annual last year but ran in the Arkle instead, and was 80-1 but only half a dozen lengths down when he fell at the last. He's rated 140. He's definitely better than that, and 2 mile handicap chases aren't as competitive as others, so maybe the Grand Annual will be his aim, maybe he won't, but he's definitely going to win a Saturday 2 mile handicap chases winner.
Nice one. Thank you, lads. Some good horses there to stick in your horse tracker if you're a Racing Post member. Right then, let's get the naps.
Postcast Naps, presented to you by Racing Post Members Club.
And we'll start with Keith Melrose.
I'm glad you're cutting me first, because I get the impression DJ might be in the same race. He says he's at Chepstow, and he's mentioned all the other chases. Mine's is in the 217, the Native River Handicap chase.
And is it DJ?
No.
Oh, good. Oh, I'm relieved. I'm relieved.
I know. I can guess which horse it is, though.
Go on, then. You have go.
I would be surprised now, I have to say. I would be very surprised if it's not Gats and Co.
Gats and Co?
I don't think it is. Who is it, Keith?
It could be Gats and Co. Could be stood in my office, and I maybe wouldn't recognise him. But no, he's, I mean, he has been in really good form. But 2020 Silver Trophy, T-Clipper won it. 2021 listed another chase in this card, T-Clipper won it. T-Clipper has finished fourth in the Ultima and fourth in that Grade 3 handicap chase on Grand National Day in the spring. He's just a horse that they get ready in the autumn and they get ready in the spring, and this is his meeting. Now, on his own, that is strong reason to back him, but look at who else is in the field. Kitty's Light, he turned 7 in January. This is his Grand National campaign, you make no mistake about that. You go Gats and Co, that's a lot of summer form, he's been in good form. Golden Taipans forms all in small field. Captain Ord, Christian Williams, will have a plan with him, and it's unlikely to be a race at Chepstow in October. And El Presente hasn't run since last year's Badger Ales, and I would be very surprised if he's not going back to that race. So I've got a horse who's going to be here and fit and ready for a race and a meeting where he's won in the last 2 years against a bunch of horses with other days on the horizon. T-Clipper is currently 9-4. He's the sort of horse I'd be backing at 9-4 all day.
Love that. Funny, you mentioned Kitty's Light's age. I'm still only 6. Hard to believe. David Jennings, who's your one bet for the weekend?
Mine is in the 402, the Silver Trophy handicap hurdle, and it is Master's Legacy from the Philip Hobbs stable. Won at this meeting last year, won a 2-mile handicap hurdle at this meeting last year, when it defied a high in running and was tipped on this very show by me. A high in running of 299-1 when winning over 2 miles. How he managed to win over 2 miles at Chepstow last year was a bit of a mystery. It was a remarkable run. He absolutely flew home under Tom O'Brien that day. Now, his career kind of took a nosedive when the new year turned, and he was very disappointing at Cheltenham in January. And then his season finished off in that meeting for horses left over from the festival at Kempton in March. But I'm convinced he's a well-handicapped horse off a mark of 132. He's had a wind operation. I do think Chepstow really suits him because there's a long home straight. He's got a big, long, langly stride. And I thought, I was just waiting. You know when the entries for this first real proper jumps meeting of the year comes out at Chepstow? He was the one horse I was hoping would be entered in this race, and he was. He's still only 7. I think there's more improvement to come. Micheál Nolan has got to know him last season. And while it's a decent race, you've got Broomfield Berg in there, who could be well handicapped off mark of 130. You've got Knapper's Hill in there for Paul Nicholls and Harry Cobden. Just Chepstow this time of year, 2.5 miles, hurdle, wind operation. I'm just liking all the ticks next to Master's Legacy's name. So Master's Legacy in the 402 at Chepstow.
Brilliant stuff. Thank you very much indeed to David and to Keith, also to producer Sam. Most of all, thank you for listening. I hope you have a great weekend. There are loads of great shows coming out from the Racing Post stable next week. On Monday, we've got the Front Page discussing all the big issues. Tuesday, we've got the Sweet Spot, all your golf tips. Keith and his fantastic new show, the name of which escapes me. What's it called again, Keith?
What a dedicated watcher you must be,
I've
Bruce.
No, this is all down to my fading memory, mate. Go on, what's
It's the Flat Pack.
Of course it's the Flat Pack. Brilliant, with the lovely Ross Briley as well. We've got Mark Langdon's Bets Club for all you football punters on Thursday. And then we're back next Friday with another podcast, looking ahead to what should be a very special day. It's British Champions Day. Hope you can join us for those. Have a great weekend.